Hello, everyone, and welcome to the EMDR Maven podcast. I'm Julie Miller, and I'm an EMDRIA-approved trainer in basic and advanced EMDR, an EMDR Institute regional trainer and EMDRIA-approved consultant and certified EMDR therapist. I provide training through the EMDR Development Center, and you can learn more about that at the website emdrdevelopment.com. I have a private practice in Tucson, Arizona, in which I work with first responders, and I use EMDR therapy with my clients every day. This episode's question of the week is, I can't get the calm, safe place or state to work with my client. What do I do? The research of the week is on a randomized controlled trial. It was published about the Integrative Group Treatment Protocol with healthcare workers over Zoom during COVID-19. So it's group protocol time. If you haven't learned about it, it's time to learn. Our resource of the week is going to be a guided progressive muscle relaxation on YouTube. It takes about 10 minutes, and we'll talk about that when we get to that part. So let's get started. Remember, if you have any ideas or questions that you want to bring up, please just send me an email to let me know. I'm happy to answer any questions you all have. You can do the best job of getting a hold of me by emailing me at jmiller4721@gmail.com. So jmiller4721@gmail.com. So the first question being, I can't get the calm or safe place to work for a client. What do I do? So everybody has their own kind of favorite ways of intervening if something's not working. Remember, you're in preparation with the clients, so you're not going to jump into any trauma processing if it happens to come up as you're working on a resource like the calm or safe state or place. I use those interchangeably. They're a little bit different, but I do tend to talk more about the calm, safe place rather than a calm, safe state. But there's no difference between them. It's really just whatever the resource is that's going to work for your client. The goal of the calm, safe place is to help the client learn to change state. Some clients have more difficulties with that than others. But that's one of the readiness criteria, is to make sure the client can change state. It doesn't have to be a big change, but it needs to be a change. So if for whatever reason, the calm place, the calm state is not working for the client, it's okay to find another resource that will help them calm or soothe. That might include things like visualizations. It might be breathing exercises. That might be any other thing you know, for example, from DBT, that would help that client go from some form of agitation to a little bit less agitated or to some form of calm. So why might it be that a calm or safe place doesn't work? There's this, so many reasons. One could be that the client doesn't have tolerance for any sense of calm or any sense of safety. It may be that there are so few memories in their memory networks of those positive experiences that they really can't access anything that helps them feel that way. If that's the case, they can't access a memory of a secure time, a safe time, a calm time, peaceful, happy, then you go looking for more immediate resources right here, right now. If you do a breathing exercise with this client, 4-7-8, for example, in for 4, hold for 7, out for 8. If they can do that breathing exercise and they are able to report that it's a shift inside when they do that, then you can just ask them to hold those numbers, 4-7-8, in mind as they notice what the effect is from that breathing exercise, where they feel a little more calm, a little more peaceful inside, and use some short, slow sets of bilateral stimulation to enhance that. That cue word is 4-7-8 in that case. So you can use lots of other resources, other skills that they have, so that they can practice and learn how to change state, how to calm and soothe, how to manage affect. That's the key point of the calm or safe state or place exercise. Can they do that? The other thing that calm or safe place exercise will often show is if there's any dissociation going on. So as soon as you start popping in some bilateral stimulation, even if it's really slow and really short sets, you may find that the client is not able to stay present. Not that they can't tolerate the emotion, but that they can't stay present. So if they can't stay present, that's another piece that is important for readiness, which means the client can't stay present in your office when you're doing something that might create some intensity or some uncertainty or some uncomfortable feelings. And if that's the case, the client can't stay present, then you have a more involved job now, which is that this client's ability to stay present needs to be evaluated a little more closely. Do they dissociate as a matter of course when things are new or intense or a little scary? If that's the case, as soon as you start processing a target with EMDR therapy, they're going to dissociate. Now, maybe it's depersonalizing, derealizing. It's just about their experience in the world. If, however, they have more serious levels, more intense levels of dissociation, you're really not going to be able to do just a few resources to help them get to a point where they can do reprocessing. It's possible, if a dissociative process is going on, that you're going to need to basically put EMDR aside so that you can explore what that dissociative process is. Is it pathological dissociation? Is it DID? Is it what we used to call DDNOS, but I think now it's a disorder of extreme stress. I haven't quite gotten that one updated in my mind with the new DSM-5. So it's a possibility that if the calm or safe state or place is not working, there may be a dissociative issue going on. You just have to take a closer look. It's possible that you, when you did the DES, the dissociative experiences scale, that the dissociative issues going on for them didn't show up. That's not terribly unusual. We can get easily false negatives on the DES. So this is another place that you might catch dissociation is in trying to do the resourcing. So essentially, if it doesn't seem to be an intolerance of positive affect, meaning they don't like feeling calm or safe, they don't know what that feels like, they don't have a lot of those kinds of memories in their memory network. So it's not necessarily a positive affect intolerance. It might be more of a dissociative issue, then you just need to stop and do a thorough assessment of what's going on for this client. It's important to educate the client about dissociation. It isn't necessarily going to rise to the level of a disorder. It can still interfere with EMDR reprocessing. So we just have to look at it a little more closely. You can do that with the MID or the MDI. There's Colin Ross has instruments that can be used for this. There's free available online instruments to help you assess for a dissociative disorder. So if the DES didn't catch anything, but now you're doing bilateral stimulation, even short and slow, and it appears that maybe there's some dissociation going on, then you need to stop, back up, explore what dissociation is going on for this client, and help educate the client. Eventually, the resourcing for them is going to include a lot of grounding, probably parts work. If you're new to EMDR and you're really just trying to get the basics down, you're just trying to do the eight phases, nothing fancy, you will come to a point where you're going to need to learn how to integrate some form of parts work, if that's internal family systems, or if that's ego state work or imaginative nurturing. You're going to have to find some form of parts work that is going to work for you to help your clients deal with dissociation. That's a big part of what we need to do when someone is dissociating as a form of coping with intensity or unpleasantness or difficulty for them. So those are two possibilities for why a calm or safe state may not be working. This client may not have access to those positive memory networks. Could it be because they're really depressed and they're not able to find any positive, happy memories from the past? They have difficulty experiencing anything that's positive, and that can be a result of vegetative depression. So again, it's really about looking at immediate kinds of resources, breathing exercises. If you know DBT, there's all kinds of options like kinesthetic. If you have pillows in your office that have different textures, there might be a texture that feels really wonderful for them. And as they're noticing that texture, what's happening inside? Is it soothing? Is it calming? Is it warming? Does it bring joy or happiness or interest or curiosity? Anything positive. If they had a really good conversation in the lobby in your office and they come in and they say, "I really had a nice conversation with this person out there. I don't know who they are," but you can use that as a positive experience. It's not an historical event. It is a positive experience in the here and now. There may be objects in your office they like or find pleasing visually. There may be scents, as in smells. Maybe they like the smell of lemon or pine or baby lotion or Crest toothpaste, you know, whatever it might be. Anything sensory can be used to shift state. So if they have really strong scents that they just love and it helps them just relax immediately, ask them to bring it in. And then when they smell that, make sure you have a cue word for it. Notice what's happening inside. Use short, slow sets of bilateral to enhance it. And that can really become something they can use in and out of the session. I had for a little while a little kit that was this bead container with all these tiny little bead containers that I could put scents in certain kinds of lotions or baby lotion. I think I had toothpaste in one because that's a very strong scent. And other people have done other things that go into this little kit that you can just have in your office and you label it and the client just kind of goes through it and says what smells best for them, what makes them feel warm and fuzzy or happy or energetic, whatever it might be. Essential oils, lotions, other kinds of spices or other kinds of scents that really evoke something very positive for the client. So again, that's just about what's in the immediate moment. And those kinds of things might be more of what you need to work on with people who have difficulty accessing memories of any time they felt calm, happy, peaceful, relaxed, safe, and so on. The word safe itself can be a stumbling block for some people. I've never felt safe in my life. And then we're never really going to get to find out because that word itself is a big trigger. So we might use other words. I know that a lot with my law enforcement and fire service folks, I will often just use the word secure. And I think I heard someone say that about military clients as well. Safe isn't like a thing, but secure is a thing. So that can be another thing to do is just check your language. And you're looking for a state change. Remember, that's the important thing. We're looking for state change and to see if there's dissociation present, because those are two things that we have to evaluate and work on for readiness for this client to be able to do reprocessing. So give that some thought. You can come up with some really creative ideas. And if you do, please let me know. I love passing on those kinds of creative ideas that folks have come up with over time. So the scent, little box of scents was not my idea. Someone passed that along to me. So again, let me know if you have questions or ideas that you'd like to share with others. That's the question of the week. Send in your questions and we'll do the absolute best we can to answer those questions. Now for research review of the week. This is an article is, I believe, from the Journal of EMDR Practice and Research. I have to double check this. This is a fascinating article. It's by several individuals involved in this. It was published in 2020. And if any of you know who Nacho Herrero is, his name is Ignacio Herrero, but he's called Nacho. He and his partner developed the Integrative Group Treatment Protocol. And this has been around for a while. It was developed in response to situations in Mexico, ongoing traumatic stress, groups of people who'd been affected by natural disasters or man-made disasters, plane crashes, hurricanes, and so on. The people who had a shared experience were able to use this group, Integrative Traumatic Group Protocol. Forgive me for stumbling. This can be really amazing and helpful for groups of people who wouldn't, all of them would not necessarily go to treatment with an individual therapist or need that, but they might just need a little help, a little kickstart in getting their shared experience processed. So this was a multi-site randomized control trial that used waitlist and delayed treatment control group design. So it was intended to evaluate the effectiveness of EMDR, Integrative Group Treatment Protocol for ongoing traumatic stress that was done in a remote fashion. They were looking to see if the group protocol done over Zoom could reduce PTSD symptoms, depression, and anxiety in healthcare professionals who had been working in hospitals during the COVID-19 pandemic in Mexico. It was conducted in 2020. The results showed a large effect size between pretest and the first post-traumatic assessment, and they attributed those effects to the EMDR Integrative Group Treatment Protocol on Zoom. So this seemed to be looking at a couple of things. One, does the group protocol work on post-traumatic stress, and does it work over Zoom? What they did find, though, was that there's no adverse effects or events during this study. There were no symptoms of dissociation, fear, panic, freeze, shutdown, collapse, fainting, or events like suicidal ideation, suicide attempts, self-harm, homicidal ideation. None of those things happened during the use of this group protocol online. And it was during the pandemic. So it was ongoing stress. So none of these events were reported by participants during the treatment or at 3 month follow-up when these individuals were still working at their hospitals during the height of the pandemic. So it showed evidence for the effectiveness, efficacy, feasibility, and safety of this group treatment protocol in reducing post-traumatic stress, anxiety, and depression symptoms for healthcare professionals working in hospitals during the pandemic. So, wow, that's a lot that this particular study showed. One is that group treatment works. We know that. If you haven't had a group training in EMDR, I really encourage you to do it. It's got so many applications, and there's several of them out there. The Integrative Group Treatment Protocol information is available online. You can look up IGTP Nacho Herrero and find his information. It's out there. He's got it online available for anyone who wants to use it. So he's not proprietary. He really wants people to know it's there and to use it. So that works. We know that, and it's a randomized control trial. So we know the gold standard shows that it's effective. The second piece is that it was during ongoing stress. So these healthcare workers were working. They were in the situation that had been traumatic for them. They stayed in their jobs, which I don't know about you, but in my area, that's kind of a big deal. People were dropping like flies during the pandemic in these hospital settings. It was just grueling for these folks. And it was also done over Zoom. So it showed three really significant things for this group treatment over Zoom in ongoing traumatic stress. If you haven't gotten a training in the group protocols, look it up, find them because they're out there. There's also a book that's available now about group treatment. I really encourage you to take a look at that. It's good stuff. Okay. Send me your comments and questions. Okay. Okay. So our last piece is the resource of the week. And if you haven't looked at YouTube, they have so many options available for resources. You just kind of got to know what to look for. On YouTube, there is a video that comes with great audio about you can search in YouTube for the guided progressive muscle relaxation with music. This is presented by the Classical Minnesota Public Radio Station. And so that's basically NPR in Minnesota. And it's beautiful video. It's very soothing voice of a woman guiding someone through this progressive muscle relaxation. Guided progressive muscle relaxation is an exercise that helps improve awareness in your body by helping you consciously tighten and relax muscles from head to toe. You would be guided through the process while working on calm breathing, focusing your thoughts on your muscles and how they feel. So, for any of you folks who have clients of difficulty accessing body sensations, just allowing themselves to be in the present moment, this particular relaxation exercise can be very helpful. And there's tons of them on YouTube. So if you look at it on YouTube, you'll see these beautiful flowers and there's butterflies and there's, beautiful visuals. There's also closed captions that can be helpful for our clients and for us. So I encourage you to look at that. For your clients who have more difficulties with calming and soothing, consider finding resources online like this guided exercise that they can practice on their own. They can practice in the office with you and can help them gain a little bit more control over their nervous system, over their focused attention, and being able to kind of calm and soothe for themselves. So that's the free resource of the week. I really encourage you to take a look around what you know that's free and available for you to use. There may be other resources, websites, anything that you have found helpful. I encourage you to let me know. And we'll make sure that it gets out there for others to be able to use. Okay, so here is now my shameless promotion about an advanced training that is upcoming. The EMDR Development Center, which is my training company, we'll be presenting a training online. It will be a distance learning training, so you can do it at your own pace. And it's called EMDR Addiction Focus Protocols: Stabilize Addiction and Titrate Trauma Processing. Information about this will be available at the emdrdevelopment.com website, and that should be by the end of May. Information will be posted there, and you can begin to look at what you need to get for your trainings and CEUs for the year. This will be an addiction training. So, for those of you who are addiction counselors, you'll be able to use this for your addiction hours. I'll just give you a little synopsis of the training. Research has shown that EMDR therapy can assist with recovery from chemical and process addictions. The challenges with this population can be daunting, as many of you know. For many years, EMDR therapists were encouraged to wait to do any trauma work until the client had months or years of recovery. This is untenable. The unprocessed material often fuels relapse. It gets triggered. The client responds to triggers by trying to regulate, and what they regulate with is acting out or drinking or drugging. We have to treat both at the same time, but how do you do that? How can we integrate EMDR into the treatment for addiction? There are addiction-focused protocols that can stabilize the addiction and get to small amounts of trauma processing that tend not to trigger relapse or slips. We're also going to talk about resources that can be used for specifically addressing those challenges that addiction clients have, like affect phobia, alexithymia, difficulty with affect regulation, and so on. So we're going to be talking about those things. I'm often asked, how do you decide when to use a specific protocol with an addiction client? And we're going to talk about that. You'll have 60-day access to the material once you're registered. And you can find out more information by the end of May 2024 at emdrdevelopment.com. All right. So good job, everybody. Thanks for joining me. Please send your questions or comments to me at my email address, jmiller4721@gmail.com, jmiller4721@gmail.com. Until we meet again, get out there, help your clients use your EMDR training, and just go with that.